Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, Ducks fans. We gather here today in memory of a dark, dark season.
Why are we celebrating? We've lost 9 in a row. We should be celebrating this. And I'm not being sarcastic this time. This helps for the chances at Connor Bedard. Why are we being sad about?
Well, I just thought we're both wearing fuck, black, Carter? So I figured we. I thought it was a sad.
I wear black because it's slimming and I'm a fat fuck.
Oh, I wear black to, you know, go back to the good old days of the emo phase where you could listen to MCR and, you know, when your teachers yelled at you to take your hat off in the hallways, you could ignore them because the MCR is just too loud.
See, I just never grew out of it. I am the true, like, it was never a phase. It's a lifestyle type thing.
Yeah.
It's 100% me still.
Yeah.
Like, wait. Not saying that it isn't for you, but like.
Oh, no. I know what you mean. But there's like the people where it's like, you know, it's a phase.
Yeah.
But.
There's like the whole TikTok trend for a little bit there of like yelling, "Mom, it was never a phase. It's a lifestyle." And then belting out that last chorus of, "Dear Maria, Count Me In" by All Time Low. Mm-hmm. And I think I'm kind of sad that it didn't get the recognition that I feel it deserves, but I think I won that one because there was, you know, people doing it in their cars primarily during COVID. And then when shows started back up, I saw a couple of people doing it, you know, like in the crowd at like the first few festivals that All Time Low was playing at and that kind of thing. My video is like right up front at the barricade.
It was a good one, yeah.
Like right up front.
Yeah.
Like right dead in front of Jack, basically, as Dear Maria was going on. So
yeah.
I think I win that one.
You kind of crushed
it. By people.
Yeah. We got Way. He's here to celebrate in the chat.
Going on, Way.
All the party emojis there.
I like it.
And we got Pei, who's hanging out with us over on the THPN YouTube channel for the watch along, saying, yes, it does. He just led us to the promised land in NHL. Hey, and for those of you just tuning in, he's doing an EA simulation. First season with Connor Bedard. Pei wins the cup.
It's good to know that we're going to win the cup next year.
Yeah.
We go from 32nd to first.
We do have to know, because you had said you lost Troy Terry in free agency. So is that the price we have to pay for Connor Bedard plus Stanley Cup? I mean, if it has to be, it has to be. It's not my favorite, but I mean, who are we to deny the prophecy? You still going on that rum and dew?
No, that's gone.
Okay, that's what?
This is just the water bottle.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's gone.
With just water.
Okay. Oh, he got him back. Okay, that's good. So we can keep Terry, we can get Bedard, and we can win the cup, I believe.
I like it.
Well, yeah, this is a late one on Wednesday evening here following the loss to the Edmonton Oilers. But before we get to that one and kind of wrap that game up, do you want to head back to Sunday night, talk a little bit about that game against the Flames, and then we can get into this Oilers and Ducks game?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Cool. So yeah, not a 4-3 loss, 5-4 loss, was it not?
Did I write that wrong?
It says 4-3.
Yeah, 5-4. 5-4. Yep, my bad.
Okay. Yeah. See, I was like pretty confident in that, but I was like, I mean, he wrote 4-3, so like is
5-4.
What happened?
5-4.
Okay. Yeah. 5-4 loss in regulation to the Calgary Flames. Ducks were leading at 1.4-3. Flames did the comeback thing and just, you know, I was going to say ruined our dreams, but no.
Well, that's only the second time that they've done that this season, by the way. Oof. Like, come back in the third period and won a game.
What was the first time against, like, San Jose or some other?
It was against Vancouver, I think, the game before.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I mean, at least we weren't the first, but, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, this game overall, like, was a very much Calgary game.
Yeah.
You know, possession and chances and everything like that. Really, though, the Ducks nearly got lucky because Calgary's goaltending was not there in that night.
Mm-hmm.
So Jacob Markstrom starts that game, got pulled after 20 minutes, which that's not a common thing for Daryl Sutter to do, to be honest with you. As a Flames fan, there's a couple times he probably should have done that this season and chose not to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the goaltending is just not there for Calgary overall. Both guys letting in two goals. Yeah, it was just a rough night on that respect. Because in everything else, Calgary outplayed Anaheim, which you kind of expect. Course,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right? But yeah, goaltending was not the Flames' friend. However, though, because of that switch, it did have me think for a second, have we chased a goalie at all this season? And so I kid you not, the reason that I wrote 4-3 there is probably because I was so busy going through the previous 76 games, going through each game summary. I double checked if there were any other games that we played against two goaltenders. And I found two instances, actually. The first time that it happened was against Vegas on December 28th. That was when Adam Henrique scored two goals in the first, I think, like under 10 minutes on the Ducks' 5 total shots on Aiden Hill.
Right.
Yeah. To chase him from the net. Logan Thompson gets put in. The only other time that we've played two goalies in one game was February 17th against the LA Kings. However, that wasn't a chasing from the net.
That
was because Phoenix Copley got into an altercation. John Gibson wanted to get involved as well, but didn't. So Copley got ejected, having to put Quick in net at that point. So there's only been one other time that we've chased a goalie this year. So another rarity coming out of this game, I feel like.
Yeah, even though we didn't get the win, you know, that happens. So
Yeah.
But. Interesting. Yeah. I mean, I too would have thought that it was our first time like actually chasing a goalie, like getting a goalie pulled. So yeah.
So that's what I chose to go through the 76 other games, trying to figure this out
instead of studying for your midterm.
Yeah, exactly. It's great use of time. This is what I do for content, to bring you the content, people.
Yeah.
This is what I do.
That's funny that I like knew that's what you were going to say. It's almost like we've been friends for like 10 plus years at this point. It's like,
exactly.
Nate did this particular thing that is not really relevant in the grand scheme of things instead of studying for his midterm.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's okay though. I got some time to, like, I have studied a little bit.
Yeah.
I got some time tomorrow before the exam itself.
No, so I know you'll be fine. Yeah.
I'll be okay. There was one, actually it was for the same class, that I just didn't have time to study, like just with how crazy everything was. I straight up did not have time to study for it. And so I studied for about the hour before the test happened and I scored a 70 on it. So
nice.
I took that as a win.
I would say so. Yeah. No, definitely.
And I think that was the first one. So that's like all like the imperative stuff, like laying down the groundwork of what we're covering for the semester, where like it's a lot of new concepts. So yeah, I definitely took that one as a win. So
yeah, for sure. You had one other thing here on this game, then we can move on to the more recent one. Frank Vetrano, 3 points on the night, 2 goals and an assist, played 1737, and some you know, fancy analytics stats as well. 0.94 expected goals for, and a 42.93 expected goal percentage. So, you know, sub 50%, but when you're playing on the Anaheim Ducks, you'll take anything that's above, like, I don't know, 30 probably.
Yeah, exactly. And to be fair as well, taking a look here at moneypuck.com for that expected goal percentage, Vetrano was fourth on the team at that 42.93. Kevin Shattenkirk actually led at 51.62%. However, that was only Shattenkirk was only better than two Calgary Flames in that game. Just to give you some perspective here of kind of how things looked. Like I said, everything from the skater side, Calgary dominated in.
Yeah.
But the goaltending was just not there for them, and it almost cost them. And almost cost the Ducks in a way, right? Of breaking the losing streak. It feels weird that we're celebrating losing, but at this point, and especially like how things were going for a little bit, right? Of like, crap, are we gonna like play ourselves out of Bedard potentially here, right? Or at least even like a top three pick. I believe at the moment with how many games are left and that kind of thing, I think read that the Ducks are guaranteed at least the top six is what we're looking at here. So which is
good.
Which is good, especially in this draft, right? Top six is still going to be a fantastic
pick. Going to be a world-class player. No matter what. Yeah, likely, exactly. Yeah, more likely than not. So. Yeah. I mean, that's really about it for this Flames and Ducks game here.
Was there anything else that you picked out from it? Like, I know these were, like, my notes kind of written here, but I know that you'll add if you can kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, Dostal looked great, I think, in it. Well, but he let in 5 goals, but like not for any fault of his. I thought he was pretty solid and gave us a good chance to win. I'll have a little bit more to say about him and more so in regards to the next
kind of
game. So
overall,
I'll just
kind of
leave it there. Yeah. So a couple more comments coming in as well. We got Ronnie saying, quack, quack, fellas. Got to hit the hay for an early morning, but had to stop in and say hi, which we very much appreciate. And of course, hit that like. We appreciate
Hey,
that
Ronnie, too. If I'm dealing with the early morning tomorrow and I'm here, you got to stay here as well. Yeah. All right.
We do this. Ronnie's going to listen in the
morning.
We do
this together.
So, yeah. Ronnie's going to help us boost them download numbers and boost our YouTube numbers. So.
Yeah, exactly.
So we'll let him get a good rest. We also got Pay saying, okay, session 2 with Wonder Boy. And we got Ronnie as well saying, hoping Carter is enjoying his Oilers win. Sad for the Ducks somehow too, but also glad for the Ducks somehow too. That was me saying that. He was saying just sad for the Ducks. What a cool empty net to get everyone their touches for the points. Yeah, Nuge with 0.100, Hyman 35, and then, you know, every Mick point is cool. So
yeah. I was saying selfishly, though, I did want McDavid to get that goal because I put a bet down that he would score between 65 and 70 goals this year.
Yeah.
I just need him to get into that window.
See, the thing is, you don't want him to get too many goals too early. It's like the from The Incredibles with Dash running at the very, very end. They're like, slow down. Because, you know, once he gets going, he might pass that 70. So you want him to slow down a little bit and then, you know, go into the last game at like 66 goals so that, you know, he's got a little bit of a buffer.
Yeah. I guess on, what's that, on Saturday, I guess Edmonton's playing San Jose. Yeah. He can do it.
He can rack it up there.
He can do it on both games against San Jose. So,
There's two games against Christ. I would put the over on 70 now if we're playing San Jose twice.
Saturday and Thursday, the very last game of the Oilers season, but they also play Colorado in between that. So, And that's in Colorado, so that'll be a tougher challenge for Edmonton, but
for sure. I mean, you know they're going to get up for that game, though. So
yeah, true. So,
what else we got in the chat before we get to this other game? Andrew saying, "Poor Gibson, he needs help tonight, and they are not there." Dostal was in net, but in general, yes, poor Gibson, he needs help.
Gibson. Carty say he was out with illness.
With illness, that was on Twitter. I saw that. I don't think they elaborated on that anymore. I quickly pulled it up
And of course, it's bumping me back to the homepage. But
yeah,
Gibson didn't post too much. So
yeah, Gibson was playing in that game, that last game against, or was it the Edmonton game? Yeah, it was the Edmonton game that Dostal went in. And then Gibson played against Calgary. Did he not?
No, it was.
Oh no, it was Dostal for that one. Yeah,
yeah,
right.
Yeah, because yeah, he was out day to day against Calgary.
Right. Yeah. So I wonder if that's maybe when the illness started, just like the middle of February, just like something has to go hurl or something like that, right? And yeah, no, yeah, I'm not coming back. So.
Yeah. It says when they posted the lineups at the beginning of the game, says Rico and Terry are back in. John Gibson is out with an illness. Here's who we fly with. So
okay.
Yeah. Didn't elaborate any further.
Fair enough.
Than that. Yeah. What else we got? Andrew saying Zegras isn't there. Yeah, he was pretty quiet tonight. And also saying they can't play defense, which I mean, generally, yes. Again, yeah. Generally, yes. But
keeping on Dostal for a second here, the Ducks have 4 games left. We'll talk about 2 of them coming up a little bit later.
Mm-hmm. Any back to backs?
Sorry. Yes, there is.
We play Saturday, Sunday, right?
The 2 games that we're going to talk about in a bit here. Yeah.
Yeah.
But besides that, though, like, even if Gibson's, you know, healthy again, like not sick anymore, I'm cool just riding Dostal for the rest of the year. We know what Gibson can do, right? Let's get a little bit more to end the next season with.
Yeah, I would like to see
actually if
Gibson get a game. So I honestly, my preference is he plays the Saturday against Arizona, Dostal plays Sunday against Colorado, just, you know, see what he can do against one of the top teams in the league, and then you can give Dostal the last couple games of the season. Yes, Nate.
Can I make a recommendation?
Sure. I know what you're going to say, but yeah, go for it.
What am I going to say?
You're going to talk about calling up Gage Alexander?
Fuck yes.
Yeah. I mean, yes, that would be ideal, right?
Play him against Arizona, play Dostal against Colorado, just because like that is the future, right?
Yeah. So you're essentially going to say to Eric Sinek, hey, I hope you got, you know, some comfy pants on, you know, maybe put a little bit of foam in your pants there, because you're going to be sitting a lot. You're going to be back up in the NHL, and then we're going to send you down to the AHL and bring Gage Alexander up. And then, then he would play in the AHL.
Yeah, he'd probably play there because Cali Klang's just getting there.
Unless they're saying, you know what, we'll see what we got in Klang too, down in the AHL. So Eric Sinek, just the ultimate paper transaction.
I mean, like, this season he kind of has been, though.
Yeah, no, but it would feel kind of bad for him at that point. Like, you know, get him a game in the NHL. See what you got in him too. You know, maybe like he has a phenomenal outing against, maybe you play him against Colorado and he puts up the big SO, and then all of a sudden he's like trade bait. I don't know.
Yeah, you go from, I guess this is kind of skipping ahead a little bit into the goals update, but you go from like an 852 in the AHL over 20 games to, I got a shutout in the NHL in my first game or something.
Yeah, that'd be good. Anyways, we'll head back to the Oilers and Ducks game, which was, as we said off the top, 3-1 loss for the Anaheim Ducks. But I mean, it's a lot closer than I think anybody really expected in terms of the score.
Yeah,
and just in terms of play, it was like a super, super close game. Again, kind of unexpected.
Yeah, I don't know if it was just because Edmonton did play in LA the night before.
Yeah.
So I don't know if they were just tired from that game, because I'm imagining that you would have watched that one. Like, I'm assuming that was kind of a, especially two teams
very,
that
very
might
physical
be seeing
game.
Each other in the playoffs in round one again. Yeah, those teams are, you know, probably going at each other and kind of getting ready for that first round. But so, you know, probably Edmonton a little bit tired there. But even with them being tired, I kind of expected Edmonton to be kind of going a little bit more than they were tonight.
I don't really know what it is. Like, I mean, they've clinched a playoff spot. Really, all they're fighting for is home ice advantage now, which they beat the Kings twice to kind of, you know, take that spot.
yes, they're fighting for first in the division, but the Golden Knights are a little bit ahead. Looks like they're probably going to lock it down. Like it's going to be tough to take it from them. So, I mean,
yeah,
you kind of don't want to like over exert yourself, but like also you don't want to lose to the Ducks. So like,
yeah,
it seemed like they were just trying to kind of find the balance of not playing at 100%, but not like, you know, sitting back and then getting run over by a team that you should beat. But also I don't want to take anything away from the Ducks because they also just played like a really solid, like neutral zone defensive game. Like they made it very difficult for the Oilers to break into the zone, which was kind of cool to see. Cause I mean, we don't see that a lot watching Anaheim Ducks hockey.
Yeah. Yeah. So. Just overall, that was a game that was just, not a usual game for the Ducks. Like if the entire season this year was like that, I wouldn't have too much of an issue, honestly, because it would show that, yes, there's improvement here. Just things aren't quite ready to make that jump, right? So, like, this is the type of game that covering this team right now, knowing where they're at, this is the type of game that I would have loved to see 82 times out of in the year.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So,
I mean, I think part of it, too, and I'm trying to leave my Oilers bias at the door, but I think, Nate, you'll probably agree with me on this one, that because the Oilers have Connor McDavid, and I'll throw Leon Draisaitl in the mix because I can't totally leave my bias at the door.
I don't think you can just leave him out of that, to be honest.
Yeah, no. But yeah, they have McDavid and they have Draisaitl, and really, since the trade deadline, they've been one of, if not the best teams in the NHL. Every team that the Oilers play now is like showing up with their A game. So like, because as we talked about, players and coaches don't tank. So no matter where you are in the standings, the players are showing up every night. And when you're playing a team that has the best player in the world, and I'll just leave it at that for McDavid, and it has just been super hot, you are going to show up with your A game pretty much no matter what. So I think this is kind of what we saw tonight, was the Ducks are just like, we want to prove that we are actually belong in the NHL, and we're going to show up with our A game, and we're going to make, we're probably going to still lose, but we're going to make it very tough for 60 minutes for the Edmonton Oilers and for Connor McDavid. And I think they were successful in that. Like, McDavid didn't do anything, like not even just points wise. Like, he didn't do anything until the end of the game on the empty net.
On the empty net. Yeah, exactly.
The top two lines were very quiet, honestly. Like the only two goals at even strength for the Oilers came from the third line. So, you know,
yeah,
it was a very, very strong game, especially by the top six and the top four and Lucas Dostal defensively against a super high powered offensive team. So,
yeah, absolutely. I'm taking a look at the shot map here. As you would expect, you know, there was, especially from the Oilers, just with the speed that their offense has, there is a lot of chances generated, in the slot, on top of the crease kind of thing, like what you would expect. But like outside of that, like the Ducks were still able to get chances like from the spots that they like to, right? Like in the slot, like everybody likes to, would have been Campbell's left side circle there. And just behind the slot, like just behind the hash marks kind of thing. Like that's where they were kind of getting the bulk of their shots from in this game.
Yes,
like both teams offensively kind of got to do what they wanted, which was interesting. But both defenses, like we were talking on the thing, I said Edmonton's defense took a massive hit over the offseason and really reverted to like just a couple years ago being trash. I say it like that's not supposed to be like a shot at the Oilers, just that defense was trash, though. They purely relied on offense, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, then you have the Ducks defense that is still very much depleted, is not normally too good. But both defenses today, especially, like, yes, Edmonton's did improve, I feel like, with Ekholm at the trade deadline. Yeah. But just both defenses really came out to play, and kind of, like, the offense got to take the shots that they wanted, I guess. But like, it's kind of weird because, like, saying that the offense got to take the shots that they wanted makes it sound like the defense didn't do their job. But it was like... It was minimal, the chances that they were actually to get where they wanted, like compared to maybe how many they would want.
Yeah, what I would say, because I agree with you, and I think the way I would kind of phrase it is the offense could take the shots that they wanted once they like actually got into the zone and established possession, because it was getting into the zone that was tough. That's where both teams excelled defensively, was making it tough to get into the zone. There was very few times I can think of that teams, or like that either team could like actually carry the puck into the zone and get set up. It was all pretty much dump and chase, try and retrieve the puck.
Yeah, it was back a lot, forth,
especially in the first period. Like, there was a very long like period of time, really, I guess, until we saw the first power play. That's kind of when things started to open up a little bit more, but like, there was not a lot of shots kind of in the first half of the period. It was very drawn out. It was a lot of back and forth, but there was not a lot of quality opportunities. So that's kind of what I thought. But then once, you know, teams did get in and get set up, and then they're kind of able to take the shots from where they wanted, get some good rebounds in front of the net and stuff like that. So that's kind of what I would say to just build off that. But
yeah.
We have a few other comments that came in. Andrew was saying, I do agree with you, Carter. I think that was when I first started talking about McDavid and stuff. Rory saying as well, in terms of the Ducks showing up with their A game against the Oilers, and players are, quote, auditioning for next year as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
good
that's
to see
Rory
as well in the chat.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so that, sorry, goes back to like my way back point of I want to see more Dostal like for these last four games. Like I'm okay with him playing it because I want to see him taking the reins for like a while kind of thing. Like, we know he kind of did for a little bit, like between him and Stolarz there. What was that, in December, I think?
Early to mid-December, yeah, I think.
Yeah, especially at this point where, you know, like you are playing against teams that are like getting ready for the playoffs in some cases, right? Like,
Edmonton,
Colorado and LA especially, right?
Yeah.
Vancouver's a team that I think I had originally predicted them to make the playoffs or just be on the outside. I feel like Vancouver's a team that could take a step next year, but at the same time, there's a lot of things that are holding that team back. So Vancouver, I really don't know about, but that's a team that's at least on a roll right now, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that'll be like a playoff like team, we'll call it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure.
And then Arizona, it's the Arizona Coyotes, yes. And that's not to like talk down about Arizona, because the Ducks are literally sitting in 32nd right now. But, you know, it's a team that is also trying to build itself right now, and like the Ducks, they've got some good pieces that they're kind of building around and stuff like that, especially guys that they acquired this year, especially on the back end too. Like, Flames bias aside, they should not have given up Yusuf Välimäki or Connor Mackey even at the trade deadline. That is really going to help Arizona's back end there, I think. But Arizona specifically at Mullet Arena is a completely different team from anything we have seen out of the Coyotes over the last like 5 years, right? So all of these last four games are going to be a good challenge for the Ducks, right?
Oh, for
so
sure.
that's part of the reason as well why I want to see Dostal getting those games, just, you know, to see how he can do like on kind of a streak of games, and see how he can kind of handle that. Yeah. I guess it'd be three out of the four, because you probably don't want to play him on a back-to-back, unless he does phenomenal and he feels that he can actually do the next game.
Yeah.
Besides that though, yeah, just that audition thing, right? Like, let's see what these guys can do, right? Get ready for next year. Even if, you know, Eakins isn't going to be the guy that's behind the bench, right? The guys that you know are under contract or at least going to be RFAs, get them ready for next season at this point.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So,
Rory also had a comment a little bit ago saying Nestoranko, in brackets, big guy, out of the lineup versus a big Oilers team because Eakins. Four games. That's all I got to say. Four more games. That's all we have.
Yeah, that was an interesting decision, I thought.
Yeah.
Because who came in? Well, I guess Henrik came into the lineup, so.
Yeah. Antonin's carry technically too, but
yeah, I guess you're bringing in those two guys, but
I mean, like, did you really have to leave like Derek Grant in?
Yeah. Do you need Derek Grant against the Oilers?
Yeah.
Would you rather see what you have
in Nestoranko? Like,
yeah, taking a look at the roster, that is the guy that you would pull out of there.
Yeah. I was just gonna pull that up to see if there was anyone I was thinking instead, maybe, but like,
so yeah, because otherwise it's Zegras,
yeah, everyone else, Trump,
you Terry,
know,
Lundestrom, McGinn,
there, yeah.
Well, especially McGinn, because you just, you know, you did make a fairly like a fair size trade to bring him in, and it's a guy that Verbeek does really like.
Yeah.
So for Berg, McTavish, yeah, and then Comtois, Jones, Vetrano, yeah, like Grant is kind of the odd guy out there, I feel like. So
We also had Glizzy saying rah-rah Rasputin, and what y'all talking about? We're talking some Ducks hockey.
Yeah, good old Anaheim Ducks. Yeah.
I don't remember what we were talking about when you came in to the chat, but yeah. Andrew as well asking, Rory, did you also hit the like? And then he said, can't pass too long in your other end of the ice. And then and Andrew also says, the head coach will talk to them and yell at them. Not Dallas Eakins.
No, I feel like Dallas Eakins isn't the yelling type.
No.
Like, there's the times that, like, you know, coaches probably should yell, and he's just like, I'm just going to speak even quieter to you guys.
Which, in a way, is almost more terrifying, but not from him.
There's, like, a soft quiet, and then there's a harsh quiet. Like, there is a difference.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
There's, like, the, like, it's okay, guys. It's all good. We can do this. And then there's, what are you guys doing? What the fuck are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Right? Like, there is a difference. But Dallas Eakins is very much the soft one, right?
But so, would you not be absolutely terrified if you got, like say, against the Oilers, the other, not this last time, the time before the 6-0 loss where, to quote you, we got shit stomped. If you go into the dressing room after and Dallas Eakins walks in and he's like, it's okay, guys. We're going to see him again in a couple days. Like, it's okay, you know, just shake this one off. Like, would you not just be like, oh my God, what the fuck is he going to do? Like, this is kind of like, he's too chill.
Honestly, for Egan's, no. Like, that's where, and again, like, we aren't in the locker room or that kind of thing, but everything that I've read, watched, heard otherwise kind of thing is like Dallas Egan's makes a great, like, developmental head coach, like in the AHL or something like that, right? Like, or, you know, could be a great, like, NHL assistant, right? Like, that guy who does have the, like good relation with the players in that sense, right? That, like, you know, a head coach maybe doesn't necessarily, like, not that head coaches and players, like, shouldn't have good relationships, right? But there are some coaches who are, you know, like, If there's something like specific you want to talk about, kind of thing, like go to the assistants first, right? Or that sort of kind of thing, right? Or the assistants are the guys that are like maybe advocating a little bit more for the players, kind of thing, and like passing, like kind of being like a liaison between the players and the head coach, kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like Dallas Eakins would be really
good. That's
right.
A good point.
Just with that kind of like everything that we hear about him, kind of thing, like that feels kind of like the right spot for him. The head coach is not quite it.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point, I think. Yeah.
But.
So, yeah. Well, I don't have anything else to say about these couple games. Is there anything you wanted to add here?
Keep the streak alive. Keep the streak alive, baby.
We want 10.
No. We want Bedard.
Yeah. Well, but
let's clarify. We want Bedard.
We got to start with 10 losses in a row first. That's the way to do it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Let's take a quick break here with our friends over at DraftKings. Promo code THPN on the other side. Got just a couple quick pieces of news, upcoming games, and a little Gulls update. And that's his all.
Cool.
So we will see you in just a minute.
The biggest tournament in college basketball is underway, and the action is just getting started on DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and score $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Plus, combine multiple bets for a shot at an even bigger payout. DraftKings will be featuring parlays and odd boosts all tournament long, so be sure to check out DraftKings Sportsbook every day to see what they have in store. So, what are you waiting for? Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with the code THPN. Right now, new customers can bet $5 on any pregame moneyline bet and get $150 in bonus bets if your team wins. Again, that's promo code THPN, as in the Hockey Podcast Network, only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
So my girlfriend started watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine again last night, which I am all for. You know, that's one of like a top three, if not like my favorite all-time TV show. Mm-hmm. I've watched that series at least three times through, I'm pretty sure at this point. But anyway, she just sent me a snap that I checked during our commercial break there. And she's like, I think maybe episode 3 or 4 of season 1. Yeah. And remember when they're kind of having the potential problem kids in kind of thing, and they're kind of trying to do like the, hey, you know, if you keep going down this, like you're gonna end up like this or whatever. They're trying to like kind of scare tactic the kids, right?
Yeah.
And anyway, my girlfriend had picked out that like one of the kids is Pete Davidson, and goes, why is Pete Davidson in everything? And I'm just like, because he's great, duh. I love Pete Davidson. That's a guy that I would love to sit and just have a few drinks with, honestly.
Yeah, he's just like super down to earth from everything I've seen. So yeah, that's good. Yeah, the injury update for the Anaheim Ducks. We've really already kind of talked about this. Gibson, still listed day to day. Eric Sinek was recalled to back up Lukasz Dostal. Adam Henrique activated off of IR after missing 17 games due to a
19.
What did I say? 18.
You said 17.
Wow.
16, 15, 14.
I'm an accountant, everybody. Just. I swear, I read numbers.
He's that accountant that you have to pay like a monthly subscription to. You get what I'm saying? He's on a certain website that starts with an O, ends with Inly fans, and yeah.
missed 19 games due to a sprained MCL. What threw me off? No, you know, this is really just an excuse. The reason I said 17 instead of 19 is because you typed sprail.
Yeah, I'm seeing that too.
that's what I would attribute that to. So I mean, not much else to say about the injury update there. Other piece of news is Ducks sign right winger Judd Caulfield, who we talked about last time, to a 2-year ELC.
This news came out literally like 10 minutes after we were finishing recording our Sunday like for Monday release episode. I was just,
which is hilarious.
I'm like, of course, that, because that has happened to us a few times now. We're like, hey, I wonder about this, and then like it, like, and like at most like an hour and a half after we're done the Sunday recording, it's just, oh yeah, and this happened. Fuck, okay, that just took away like half an hour of conversation.
Yeah.
Anaheim, can you not?
Yeah,
can you
right.
Not? Can you put all the news out like in the morning, please?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Just one big press release Sunday morning. That's all we ask.
Exactly.
Judd will go to San Diego on an amateur tryout. His salary, $837.5K over the 2 years, and when he's in the minors, $70K.
Still, that's pretty damn good money.
Good money for sure. Yeah. Okay. Moving on to upcoming games. again, kind of already talked about this, though. Saturday, we will be at Mullet Arena, 2:30 p.m. Pacific time for the final meeting between the Ducks and the Arizona Coyotes. We have obviously played the Arizona Coyotes already this season, and it has gone...
The Ducks way 5-2 back on January 24th, and then 2-1 in overtime on January 28th.
Okay, so Ducks...
It's been a while since we've seen them.
But... Yeah, looking to sweep the season series then.
Yeah.
Yeah, what else you got for us?
Anything? Over the last 10, the Arizona Coyotes are 2-6-2. They're currently on a 4-game losing streak, but we're on a 9-game losing streak right now. So, favor for us there. But what I was kind of alluding to earlier, on the road, Arizona, absolute, and no pun intended because Coyote, dog shit, 7-24-9 on the road. However, something about playing in that college barn has been working for the Arizona Coyotes this year. 20-14-4.
Ooh.
I have
pretty good.
Never seen like that much of a discrepancy between road and home.
Yeah, right.
Records.
See the thing is too, I think that the road record is so low because they started the season
for
pretty
so
much
long on the road
on a massive road trip.
Yeah.
So it really takes a toll on you. Honestly, yeah. If it was a regular season, they might regular season in terms of home away distribution throughout. They might be fighting for a playoff spot.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but they would maybe be a little bit higher the standings. Arizona has some pieces that they're building around.
Yeah, right?
Similar to the Ducks, and they have a bright future in front of them as long as it doesn't get fucked up. But that's with any other team as well that's rebuilding,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So you don't want to pull, just the spot ahead of Vancouver, and start throwing money at certain guys or trading for certain guys that you're handcuffing yourself to, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. So
let's see here. So what's their home record again?
20-14-4.
Okay, so 44 points at home. And then their road record is
7-24-9.
So they've played 40 games on the road. Let's just say they go 500 in those games, just 20 wins, 20 losses. That's another 40. So they'd be sitting at, 84 points on the year.
Yeah, which would be good for fifth in the wild card race. That'd push down St. Louis. So, like I said, that would push them up a little bit higher.
Yeah. So, just now they would be getting eliminated, but
yeah.
Yeah. But, you throw in a few overtime losses, a few more overtime losses into that road record.
Yeah.
And, you're not far out of the playoff race. So, yeah, I could see them next year maybe having more of a Buffalo Sabres type season where they're just doing better than everyone expected, and they're definitely in the hunt all year round, but just not quite there.
Yeah.
Depending on their offseason moves. But getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. Well, I am anyways. Do you have a score prediction for this game?
I'm gonna say this one goes Arizona's way. Just because of the games I've watched of them at Mullet Arena, not just against the Ducks or even just against the Flames. I've surprisingly watched more Coyotes games this year than I normally do, I guess.
Yeah.
But they've just been luckily kind of on. let's go. I feel like the Coyotes take this one. It's going to be 3-2.
Okay.
I think.
Okay. I think I could see Arizona taking it as well, but can I really predict 10 straight losses for the Ducks? Just because of how the season series has gone, I'm going to say this one goes to Anaheim. I'm going to take the same score though.
That's fair.
But just go the other way, 3-2. yeah, that's how I'm feeling. So
sorry, I'm laughing at the discrepancy already between the Avalanche and the Ducks here. Specifically in the scouting report. Trevor Zegras, 60 points leading the team, which is like that's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
And then Nathan MacKinnon, 100.
Oh, he's at 100 now, hey?
Yep. Nice. And then you got goals, Zegras, 22, Mikko Rantanen, 49. And then, Jesus Christ, goals against average leaders.
Oh, yes. Let's hear this one.
You know, actually, no. Take a guess first who it is for Anaheim.
For Anaheim? For goals against. Like goals against average?
Yeah.
It's got to be Dostal with, I'm going to say, like a 3.02. Is it Stolarz?
With a 3.73.
Oh boy, oh god, was I wrong? Hey,
and Keith Kincaid apparently has it for the Avalanche at a 137.
Yeah, but like, how many games has he played?
He's played one game.
Yeah, okay, there we go.
So if we go into it here, though,
so not even a full game if he's played one game and he's at a 137.
Goals against average, a 950 save percentage in that game, whatever game it was that he played. You know, let's take a look.
It can't have been a full game. There's no way, because otherwise he would just have an even number. So it must have been like part of a game.
He's been in two, but he started one, so he got the win for that one.
Oh, okay. And yeah, okay.
Started against Buffalo on November 12th.
And then got quickly yanked, I'm guessing.
No, he played that whole game. Had one goal against, a 968 save percentage.
Okay.
Why do I feel like Kincaid got traded this year? Like he got traded to Colorado.
I think he was an off-season pickup.
Keith Kincaid.
Anyways, do you think we probably see Kincaid in this one? Like if he's even up. I mean, it is the second half of a back-to-back actually for the Avalanche. They're in
I feel LA like this before, would so. This would be the team that you would see Kincaid. And yes, he was traded from the Bruins at the trade deadline.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, that would have been the one game that he played for Boston in that time, and then March 4th for Colorado. He would have appeared partway through the game against Dallas there, it looks like. 9 shots against, 8 saves, okay. Gotcha. For an 889 save percentage to kind of put that down a little bit, to say the least. But
yeah, fair.
Anyway, the other guy's Georgiev, though, a 36-16-5 record, a 254 goals against average, and a 919 save percentage.
Okay.
And just in case you were curious as well at this moment, Dostal, a 377 goals against average, a 901 save percentage, and a 4-9-2 record is what it's showing me right now.
Damn.
Which means that Gibson would have the worst goals against at a 3.99.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, so Francois and Johansson must be out. Well, I mean, I don't know. I guess I don't know if they're out. Because, I mean, like you said, Kincaid just happens to have like the best record on or goals against average on the team. So, but that doesn't necessarily mean he's even like.
Yeah. Francois is out. So it is Jonas Johansson as the backup. So we might see him again because I think we saw him last time.
We did. Yeah.
So. Maybe we see Georgiev and he pads my fantasy stats. So
yeah, I mean, like I said, they played the Kings the night before, so I think you play Georgiev against the
Kings
in
that game, yeah,
and then exactly. Johansson gets this one. So, yep, I think that's how we're going to go.
I got Georgiev for the league that I'm playing for the championship.
Nice.
Squeaked into the last playoff spot and beat you in the first round.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I'm now playing in the finals.
Yeah. Do you have a score prediction?
To be fair, I was not expecting that at all, though.
Yeah. Do you have a score prediction for this one against the Colorado Avalanche?
Taking a look back, season series is tied 1-1. Yep. Ducks winning that first game 5-3 back in January, but we did just play the Avalanche, I think it was last week, where the Avalanche stomped us 5-1. I'm going to go... Oh, thinking if they're going to play Johansson. Oh, 4-2.
Colorado?
Yeah.
Okay.
This might be one of those maintenance day games that you do for Colorado for some of the guys.
I don't know, because I think they're playing for home ice. Oh, no, never mind. They're top in the league. Well, actually, they're in a three-way tie for first in the league. They just happen to have played one last game. So,
right, but against Anaheim, I still think you could for a guy or two.
No, I don't think so. I'm calling 7-2 Colorado. Big night.
Hefty.
Yeah. We do have Andrew still kicking around the chat here saying Cale Makar. Weak average in term for the Ducks when we're talking about goals against average, and says Avs 5-3.
All right, good prediction.
Okay. Yeah, I could see that.
Like that one.
Yeah. All right, and then just to wrap things up here, not forgetting the music this time, or music, the sound effect, I guess.
I don't know, man. That's music to my ears. Yeah, your Gulls update. So it's been a busy week for the Gulls. There's four games between last Wednesday and this Wednesday. So yeah, the Gulls losing in overtime 6-5 to the Tucson Roadrunners would have been last Wednesday, or last live episode. Mm-hmm. Then they lost to the Iowa Wild 5-1. Unfortunately, it was not an April Fool's joke. But it's okay, though, because April 2nd, the next day, they won 4-2 over the same Iowa Wild. So, and then tonight, the final score versus the San Jose Barracuda was a 6-3 loss, unfortunately. So, which puts the Gulls right now still 10th in the Pacific Division. Do I even have to say it at this point?
No.
with a 20-45-2-1 record coming up this week. Back-to-back games in San Diego against the Calgary Wranglers, who I think are sitting top in the West standings.
Oh, in the West. West. Damn.
If I'm not mistaken.
They've had a hell of a season, so
The Wranglers sitting first in the West at 100 points, a 48-15-3-1 record. In 67 games played, and that's with a game in hand on a couple teams, actually. Yeah, very impressive what they're doing there. So, and a Wranglers playoff game is something I'd love to go to, actually. So,
oh yeah,
I might have to spend a couple bucks and go do that. So,
yeah, out of all the playoff games that are.
They're probably going to be in Calgary. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that too. Yeah. But I mean, you know, the tickets will be like actually affordable too for an AHL game. So,
yeah. I also wouldn't mind trying to hit one more Roughnecks game this year.
Yeah.
So, because I think they got two games left. Yeah. They play Friday and then next Friday or next Saturday. One of those.
Okay.
So, that's another Calgary team that's looking to hit the playoffs. I think it's like, oh, we were talking about it the other day, a couple of buddies and I. If the Flames don't make the playoffs, the other three teams that play at the Scotiabank Saddledome will make it except for the big club.
Nice.
Because, yeah, Roughnecks are making it. They already clinched. The Wranglers have already clinched as well, the AHL. And then the Calgary Hitmen are also in the playoffs currently. So,
I wonder if the Flames, like, being out of a wild card spot is just some big conspiracy by the person who handles scheduling all the bookings for Scotiabank Saddledome. If they're just like, oh, fuck, I can't handle this. Please, no. Like, they can't make the playoffs. He's like, He's like under, he's like going out there and like melting the crease, like with a blowtorch, like Jacob Markstrom's crease before every game. And
I think for the Hitman, dulling
his skates. And
I think for the Hitman, because I think there is a plan to have them in a different arena, if not next season, maybe the season after. I'm trying to remember where there's an arena like just on one of the reservations that it's like just outside of town.
Oh, okay.
I think I can't remember. Oh, why can't I remember where it is? But they played a few games there this year. So, you know, I think if that was the case, maybe the Hitman for if like the Hitman were to make round two. I don't even know how the Hitman are doing this in the first round right now, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm not sure, honestly.
But I feel like they would maybe go there then or something. But
yeah, it's possible.
So,
Did you go through the stats for players and goalies, or did I
black out during that part? No, I haven't. I haven't. Oh, okay. Yet. You're all good. So
that's good. Okay.
So your top five players right now in terms of points, Glenn Gauden at number five with 32 points there. Bo Grew with 38. Nicholas Brouillard at 39. Michael Delzato is sitting in second spot with 39 points. Also, 29 with San Diego. In 36 games, Delzato's really fit in there in San Diego.
Yeah. Yeah. He really, he really has. It's,
I like it. Interesting. I like it.
Not complaining for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Dylan Sakura as well has put up 11 points in his 13 games with San Diego since being acquired from the Rockford Ice Hogs back at the trade deadline there. His 11 points in San Diego brings him up to 43 points in 65 games played this season in the A for first spot on the team right now.
Nice.
So, and then goalies, we got three to talk about. Also bring up Ole Eriksson Ek, even though he just got called up to Anaheim today. He's appeared in 20 games now. He's got a 481 goals against average. A 852 save percentage with a 214-0 record.
Triple oof.
Yeah, he's been having a rough deal down there. So got Gage Alexander, who's played in 15 games now for the San Diego Gulls.
Damn.
A 362 goals against average, an 886 save percentage, a 5-6-3 record on the season. And then the newcomer.
Hey, don't forget his shutout. The one shutout for Gage Alexander.
Right. Sorry. Yep. the newcomer now this season coming over from the other side of the pond. Mr. Cali Klang has appeared now in two games for the San Diego Gulls. He's got a 163 goals against and a 923 save percentage. One game was a start, so he's got a 1-0-0 record. Yep. So
solid, solid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Can't be mad really about that. Yeah, I mean, he played 1343-ish in the one game. So, yeah, not a ton. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, only has faced 26 shots. So, yeah, obviously, you know, very small sample size, but looking good so far for Cali playing. So
exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, that is all we have for this episode of the Quack Report. I can't remember if we talked about it on here or if it was on the watch along, but you know, I got work tomorrow. You got a bunch of stuff to wrap up class nice and early in the morning. So we're going to get out of here early.
And Monday.
Oh, good call.
There will not be an episode on Monday. We're going to take a break for Easter. Last time we had a break was Christmas, I think.
Yeah.
So we won't have an episode on Monday. However, we will be back live on Wednesday. And that'll be the last live episode, like during the Ducks season, I guess.
Yeah. Cause then the season's done on what, the Thursday?
Thursday's
the last game. Yeah. And then we'll do like a whole season wrap up on the Sunday and then go from there into playoffs, I suppose.
Yeah. I can't wait to look at our way. This is always like the end of the season is always my favorite to look back at the way too early season predictions.
I like that too.
And see, like, okay. Yeah. I got pretty, I kind of knew what I'm talking about here. And then, like at this point, I was just like, no, I fucked up. So, and the big one right away in my head is remember you predicted that Boston wasn't going to make the playoffs?
Yeah, fucking fools, hey? Yeah, like, you and everybody else, or a good, you know, 90% of everybody else, for sure. Myself included, right? So wasn't necessarily a bold take, but oh, bad. Oh boy, does it look bad. Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
We got Andrew saying happy Easter. Yes, happy Easter, Andrew, happy Easter. And to everybody who celebrates, happy Easter. And to those that don't, happy long weekend for you.
Impromptu, as in I don't have it with me, I guess, to share with everybody, but I did see a video of this guy saying, yeah, my dad, you know, gave me these, the cardboard case, I guess, and said happy hunting, and it was the cardboard like beer case, and the dad had hid the beer bottles in the bushes.
Nice.
So you know, load them back up and there you go. So
that's pretty good.
Yeah.
Adult Easter egg hunting.
Exactly.
It's good. All right. Yeah, if people wanna, I don't know, and we didn't really talk about anything here, too exciting, so I don't know. People want to wish you a happy Easter. We'll go there. Where can they do that at?
You can do that on Twitter at Tate Nomas, TateNHomas.
Yeah.
And we will send you some gif of a bunny back saying thanks. And you as well.
Yeah. Nice. And the show is on Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, at Quack Report Pod. All of them handles there, or all those social medias there, same handle. I am on Twitter at Carter_Potts, POTTS_97. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. We'll see you in about a week, and go Ducks go.
Ciao!